Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Got a video you think should be included in our weekly online video picks? Send the link to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. This week's picks include one that asks, with a name like Obama, maybe he's really Irish. See our online video picks at WNYC.org. Click on video. By the way, we'll be airing excerpts from Senator Obama's speech in Lower Manhattan that I think just concluded a few minutes ago on the foreclosure crisis and the economy generally. We played a clip of Senator Clinton's foreclosure issue speech from earlier in the week, and we will talk about Mayor Bloomberg deciding to go down and introduce Obama at Cooper Union today. Mayor Bloomberg, whose endorsement is still up for grabs, so we'll talk about that in about an hour. But right now, today's installment of Congestion Pricing Countdown. 11 more days for the city and state to approve a congestion plan to get the $354 million that Washington is dangling, but only dangling until April 7th, they say. We'll continue to follow the politics and explore the issue. Today's developments revolve around rank-and-file resistance. The Albany Press Corps tells us that booing broke out when Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver told his Democratic members that he would introduce a congestion pricing bill. The Daily News says Silver may have a plan to link congestion pricing to his proposed tax hike for millionaires, something that both the governor and state Senate majority currently oppose. And City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, a congestion pricing supporter, is reported to be facing unusually tough resistance from City Council rank-and-file members. The Speaker usually has the power to bring a majority along pretty easily. You can still read Mayor Bloomberg's congestion pricing bill and post your reactions on our website. If the devil is in the details, here are the details at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, one of the mayor's proposals is to charge a $1 surcharge for all taxicab rides that begin or end within the zone, Manhattan below 60th Street. This led to some discussion on the show yesterday about the role of taxis in the larger scheme of things. Should we view taxis as public transportation? Is the taxi surcharge intended to produce fewer cab rides or just raise revenue? We will ask Sam Schwartz, former New York City traffic commissioner who writes the Gridlock Sam column in the Daily News. The bio on his website begins with the words, "I hate traffic." Hi, Gridlock Sam. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Taxis. How do you see taxis in the big scheme of New York City traffic? Is it the moral equivalent of mass transit or of the private car or something in between?
It's something in between. And remember, you're talking to an ex-cabbie, but I drove 40 years ago.
Huh.
And I always view taxis as part of the public transportation system. It's available for the public at any time. Anybody in the public can ride taxis. And I think they should be separated from livery vehicles. I'm kind of disappointed in the bill. I'm a strong supporter of congestion pricing, but the bill links the livery vehicles, the black cars, with taxis and has the same surcharge. I think if taxis have a surcharge, the livery vehicles should have 10 times the surcharge of a taxi.
Why?
The livery vehicles are the luxury form of transportation. They will sit and wait. They'll be idling their engines. Their cost to the public is far greater than the cost of a taxi. I do think we should reduce the number of taxis. If traffic gets better, we'll, in fact, get more taxis because taxis perform best when they're moving fast.
Now, let's make a distinction, too, between livery vehicles that are the limos, which is really what you were just describing, not necessarily the stretch limos, but the private cars that you reserve and they're higher priced, and the ones that are only allowed to drive up above 96th Street in Manhattan and elsewhere, which pick up a lot more poor people in areas where yellow taxis often don't go. So are those all included in your notion of livery cabs, or should we see them differently?
Yeah, well, those vehicles, and it's not by law that they're only allowed north of 96th Street. It's just by a tacit agreement between the police department and the industry. In fact, those vehicles, technically on the books, cannot pick up hails. But you can't go to parts of Brooklyn or parts of the Bronx or even Queens and use a yellow taxi, you have to use these livery vehicles. Those vehicles rarely go into Manhattan, so the surcharge is unlikely to affect them at all.
I see.
I'm talking about the black cars. I'm talking about the ones that are sitting there, and I, frankly, I use them. They should be. I should pay a premium whenever I use them.
Let's talk about taxis in the congestion pricing scheme. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Sam Schwartz, Gridlock Sam in the Daily News, and President and CEO of Sam Schwartz LLC, a traffic planning and engineering firm. We had a caller yesterday who said taxis rather than people's private cars are the real causers of congestion. Do you agree with that?
I agree that they contribute in Midtown Manhattan to more of the congestion than private car. And I think we made a mistake when we increased the taxis during the Giuliani administration and even during this administration. We have too many taxis, and that's why they're hustling like crazy for fares. That's why they have to drive a little wild. We need to reduce the number of taxis. And, in fact, people will be able to move more swiftly. They won't notice the difference. That's the conundrum there, is if you have fewer taxis, you'll have more taxis available.
If you have fewer taxis, you'll have more taxis available? Why wouldn't supply and demand give us the opposite?
Well, if you, Brian, remember your old calculus classes, and there was a maximum point at which you would get the greatest value. The same thing happens with taxis. As if you imagine speeds dropping to close to zero, then it doesn't matter if you had 50,000 taxis. The taxis wouldn't be able to serve you. All they would be doing is providing seating in Midtown Manhattan. So when the speeds get below a certain level, the taxis become so inefficient that having fewer taxis would actually mean that you can hail a taxi. I have to show you the science on, and I've done the science on it. We have too many taxis. Whoever spoke to you yesterday was absolutely right. In Midtown Manhattan, they contribute far more than the private car. And the answer to that is fewer taxis, they move more swiftly, and more people would be able to ride the taxis. Sounds counterintuitive, but the math is there.
Do you happen to know the percentage of the cars in Manhattan below 60th Street during the business day that are taxis?
If we go to Park Avenue, it reaches as high as 80%.
Whoa.
And if you're on Fifth Avenue, it's also very high. When you get over to First Avenue, it's more like the 40 or 50%. But in general, it's close to half the traffic in Midtown Manhattan are taxis. When you add deliveries, you're going over to well over half the vehicles. And therefore, when we just focus on the private car, we're not going to see the kinds of congestion reductions we're hoping for.
So here's a taxi driver, Bobby in Manhattan. Bobby, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I really like your show, and I completely agree with the gentleman you were talking to. There are too many taxis. The city has raised the number of taxis, which is not good for the taxi business, one thing. Second thing is my suggestion. If the city raises the toll for the congestion pricing, that some of the taxis, not all of them, but some of the taxis should be designated as picking up number of people, going only uptown and only downtown on certain area of the Manhattan. Like they start from Houston Street and First Avenue, and they go up to 96th Street and First Avenue only. And on the way, people, they get in, they get out, and they pay like maybe $2.50 or $3 per head. So if they want for the three zones.
Right. So you're talking really like the dollar vans, right? Like
the dollar vans, but as taxis are very expensive, the medallions are very expensive, we have to pay high prices for the lease and all that.
Right. Now that's a very interesting proposal, Sam Schwartz. I wonder what you think of it. I guess in theory it could do a couple of things. It could make taxis more affordable for more people if there's cab sharing like that. It might reduce the number of individuals, you know, people one at a time in cars in Midtown. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's actually an important point. The average taxi is carrying about 1.2 passengers, even when they're carrying a passenger. So if we can increase that number, and again, I know it sounds counterintuitive, while reducing the number of taxis, people will be served as well or better. So I think this Bobby's idea of having group riding and establishing certain locations where you have a density of origins and a density of common destinations would absolutely work.
Steve in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Sorry. You know, someone already said, I mean, like what I was going to say, but I just was disagreeing with the idea that the livery service in New York takes like a greater social toll than cab drivers, because I do drive for a living, and cab drivers are, I mean, it's like a, you know, it's an army of people who's like their mission is to get from one job to the next as quickly as possible, and that it does definitely encourages erratic driving, but I mean, they'll cut over three lanes in front of you. Like no problem making people slam on their brakes. You know, like I don't know. I've never seen anyone else but a cab driver also hit a bicyclist and then just drive away. I mean, I saw that recently. It's like
let me get a reaction, Sam Schwartz. What do you think of any of that?
Yeah, I mean, there are bad cab drivers, and then I had a terrible livery driver recently. So I wouldn't single out the industry there. We have created a situation where they have to hustle like crazy, and the name of the game is as soon as somebody gets in the back of your car, get rid of them and go after the next fare. So we created a system that makes them often drive the way this person is describing. But I still think that the delivery vehicles, the difference between the livery and the taxis is we do have a cap on the number of taxis. It should be lower. We have no cap on liveries. My estimates are we have well over 40,000 vehicles right now that are in the delivery category, and then there are some that, in addition to that, that aren't even regulated.
Now, the $8 congestion fee is intended to get people out of their cars and into mass transit. Do you think the $1 taxi surcharge is intended to get people to take fewer cabs in the zone or just to raise revenue for the MTA?
Yeah, my prediction is it's really just going to raise revenue. It'll have at most a marginal impact on reducing taxi traffic. It may hurt the cab drivers because fewer people will ride the taxis, and that means that they're going to be hustling even harder for fares. So this is a perfect time to reduce the number of medallions.
Connie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Brian. I am completely opposed to reducing the number of yellow cabs in Manhattan for a couple of reasons. One, for somebody who doesn't own a car and has never had to, because of the presence of yellow cabs, they're a lifesaver. Secondly, I have found it much, much easier to get a cab ever since they were increased. So although the mathematical models may show that I'm wrong, my experience has shown the opposite of what the mathematical models show. Third, as somebody who's disabled, I can't take public transportation often. I can't do the stairs and so forth. So the cabs are all there is, and they've been a real lifesaver. So I'd say don't reduce the cabs. Use a park-and-ride system instead. Increase the cabs, decrease the cars.
Connie, thank you very much. Now, we've got a couple of minutes left with Gridlock Sam from the Daily News, Sam Schwartz, also the former New York City Traffic Commissioner, and he runs an engineering firm now, Sam Schwartz LLC. I mentioned that we posted the mayor's actual draft bill on our site, and some of the people who have read the bill have posted these comments. Let me get your reaction. One of them relates directly to what Connie was just saying. There's no exemption that at least this listener saw for vehicles driving handicapped people. Second, the bill has no provision for alternative fuel or green cars, and it doesn't promise more parking at Long Island Railroad and Metro North stations in the suburbs, which a listener says fill up by 7 a.m., making many more people drive to work as a habit. Do you want to comment on any of those?
Yeah, I think they're all good points. First of all, when it deals with handicapped drivers, one of the problems is the permits have been so abused, and that many people who are not handicapped or have a relative that they are now have driving vehicles with disabled person's license plates. It requires no medical. It requires sending in some papers, so we do have abuse of the system. In New York City, we have a very well-regulated handicap licensing program. I would be supportive of exempting handicap to can demonstrate that indeed they meet those requirements, and indeed they're the only ones that will be using those vehicles. As regards to alternative fuel, if you look at the original concept of congestion pricing, which was proposed by William Vickery 50 years ago, the Nobel Prize-winning economist from New York, by the way, he's talking about space. The second part of this is space. An alternative fuel vehicle uses just as much space as a regular car. Maybe they should have a slight reduction, but and they are giving a reduction for trucks, which baffles me, why a truck that's alternate fuel would be $7 versus another truck that's $21.
Huh, but not for cars. All right, we have to leave it there for today. Gridlock Sam Schwartz, thanks a lot for coming on.
You're welcome, Brian.
Tomorrow, congestion pricing countdown. 10 days to go. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, Douglas Brushkoff on the U.S. Constitution as the original open source document. Stay with us.